Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon, Joy 94.9 Multicultural Programme. The Orange Ribbon is a symbol used across Australia to represent multiculturalism, anti-racism and international understanding. At Joy 94.9, Orange Ribbon represents peace and understanding in our multicultural GLBTQI community. If you would like to comment on the programme or ask questions, you can email us at onair@joy.com.org.au or SMS 0427 Joy 949.
Welcome to Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with your hosts Mark, Hugh. Today on the show we have Amayo, who is transgender and originally comes from New Zealand, but has a Samoan background. She will take us through her story about growing up as a boy, but finding out at an early age how much she really wanted to be a girl. We will find out how challenging it is to change your sexual identity and take the first step out in the world as someone else. Once again, we have a great story today and here on Driven on Joy 94.9, so stay with us for the next hour.
joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, this is Orange Ribbon with Mark, Sam and Hugh. And our guest this week is Amau from New Zealand. But before we go into Amau's story, we've got a giveaway this week for Pong Langsa on First Australian Tour. It's a well-known traditional Thai musical act with over 22 performers on stage. Never before have they toured Australia. Now, stay tuned because we're not giving it away just now. We'll give it away sometime during the show, but it's well worth winning. Welcome, Mark and Sam.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, we almost didn't get you in the studio in time there, Mark.
No.
You had to rush it in at the last minute.
I made it, though.
You made it. Welcome, Amau, to the show. How are you?
Good, thank you, and talofa, thank you for
talofa.
Having me.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Talofa is hello in Samoan.
So. Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
Now, let's start the show off by telling us a little bit about where you come from.
Okay, I'm New Zealand born, but my ethnic background is Samoa. So there's two Samoas, there's American Samoa and Samoa. My parents are from Samoa. They're from an outer island called Savai, and which is an amazing untouched island, and yeah.
Okay.
So my background is Samoan.
So what's the difference between the American Samoa and Samoa?
Just like once upon a time, the two Germanys, okay. Two Koreas, the Pacific, we have the two Samoans.
Yeah.
Samoa was known as Western Samoa. Mm-hmm. That was once came under the Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And there's American Samoa, which is a trust territory of the U.S. So mm-hmm. The difference, maybe language-wise, the American Samoa, they have a bit of the twang there, the American twang.
Yeah.
Their systems in terms of education and government
mm-hmm.
are strongly linked to the American system.
Okay, so, cool. Yeah.
What is the language you speak in Samoa?
English and Samoa. English is taught at the schools,
right.
And it's mostly understandable across the
country.
Do
you speak your own language?
Yes, I do speak my own language. And it's Samoan is spoken, we don't have, dialects.
Mm.
It's just across the board. So you can speak Samoan and American Samoan. Yeah.
Now, you were brought up in New Zealand.
Yes, I was.
Why did your parents go to New Zealand?
Back in the, I think it would have been the 50s, 60s, it was the place to be. And a lot of Samoans were migrating to New Zealand. And it was probably seen at the time as Hollywood. You know, you know, it was, people would consider it a future. It was a future. Right. So my parents migrated over, I think, in the late 60s, early, mid 60s.
Right.
And they took their beautiful family. At the time, there was only, I think there was like four, five of us at the time, and now there's 10 of us.
Wow. So they settled down well in New Zealand, and they liked it.
New Zealand. Yes.
Now, you said, obviously, they moved to New Zealand for a lifestyle. What is life like in Samoa?
You know, at the time, there's not the opportunities that you would have in, like, I guess you can consider Western, you know, cook society. So there's a difference there, and you're just wanting to, well, as I can sort of think for my parents, is that they just wanted to give us a better life.
Right. What industries do they have in Samoa that people work in?
The big one there would probably be tourism.
Okay.
Tourism's a big thing there. Right.
So how old were you when you left Samoa? Or were you born here?
I was New Zealand born.
Oh, right, okay.
New Zealand born, and came over to Australia, or say, this will probably be revealing my age, probably 25 years ago, or 20 years ago. Yeah. And I went to high school in Sydney.
All right.
So okay. Did your family come with you when you came over to Australia? Or?
Yes, Dad did.
Okay.
Dad found it was better, and so there was, it was like, for my dad, it was, he felt like it was Las Vegas. It was just like he had come upon something where you could just buy and buy and buy and could still be happy.
Yeah.
You know, and just, it was money-wise, it was better. So he rang Mum and said, look, let's come.
So your father came here first?
My dad came here first.
And sort of set up a home and everything, and then your mother followed?
My mum followed with us kids.
And so how long was he here before the rest came across?
Probably three months.
Right.
3 months. I had already had, my older brothers and sisters had already left, so biologically I'm the youngest. And I had older brothers and sisters that were maybe 10 years my senior.
Right.
And so when you went to Sydney originally, did you stay there for a while before you came to Melbourne, or is it only more recently?
Melbourne was in the last, say, 6-7 years. I was in Sydney for two, 3 years.
So what do you like about Melbourne? Is it just a bit different, or do you just prefer?
I love the people.
No, yeah.
I love the culture. I love the art scene. And there's so much to do here.
Yeah.
Only interesting one here is the weather, even though there's similarities to New Zealand.
Yeah.
But I like it here.
I feel I can breathe.
You know.
Let's talk about your upbringing, though, in New Zealand. What type of upbringing did you have? Was it religious or?
Part religious. Very protected. Church played a big thing.
Whereabouts in New Zealand
were you? Auckland.
How do the New Zealand people accept people from Samoa coming across as immigrants to New Zealand?
I can't speak for other parts of New Zealand, but in Auckland itself, it has a big Pacific Island community. So therefore, people are aware that Pacific Island people are there. And it's just like, you just blend in. Mm-hmm. You're like seen as part of the furniture, you know, or part of what's around you. So
how did your parents find moving from Samoa to New Zealand in the first place? Was that a big transition for them? Or
I gather for them it was a challenge, although for my dad, my grandpa was a politician, Samoan politician, so that made things a little bit easier. But it was testing times, because you're having to deal with a new, a, a whole different culture than your own. I would for say the language barrier would probably be a big one.
Cool. Okay, this is Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9, and we'll come back to Amaya's story very soon.
Email on air at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Mark, Sam and Hugh, and our guest today is Amau, who originally comes from New Zealand. And I think at this part of the show we should actually mention that Amau's actually a transgender. Is that right?
Yes. Fafafine.
Fafafine.
As Samoans, we use that term, so.
No, we're saying fafafine, we're not actually swearing, but just say translate it.
Okay. The general translation or Samoa for seats. Look at it is fa'a means in the way of or to be like, and fafine is lady or woman. Okay. So if you can figure that out, my take on it is in you know, just to be woman.
Mm-hmm. So, and before the show we were actually talking and you said in New Zealand it's quite normal and quite a normal word. People all understand it.
Yeah, well, where I'm from in Auckland, big Pacific Island community, and you just, it's a term that, just like you have little sayings that you have per se community or, you know, it's a saying that, it's a word that comes up now and then, and it's seen as quite humorous without taking away from
it. And it's not used as a negative term at all, it's a positive term.
No, it's a beautiful term, most definitely.
Now, before the break, we were talking about your schooling and coming up, being brought up, sorry, in New Zealand. When you moved to Australia, you went to an all-boys school, is that correct?
Yes, which was a new thing to me because I was, prior to coming to Australia, I had been in, both co-ed, co-ed schools. So it was a whole new ball game and there was a little bit of fear because I was coming to terms with, oh, I'm liking guys. I don't know. And I happened to be, at the time, a guy. So it was a whole new sort of take on it and finding it all interesting with having been surrounded by boys, but at the same time, loving it.
Loving it. So, I mean, at this point, you were roughly around about 15.
Yes, that's correct. 15, 14.
Yeah. Did you, you obviously realised you were a little bit different or there was something happening. Were you aware of what was happening?
You couldn't pinpoint it because the general consensus is like, is it normal or not normal? Mm. And you're sort of fearful of what other people are thinking or saying. So you tend to try blend in with the so-called heterosexual way of looking at life in general.
Mm. Did you privately dress up as a girl? Or?
Yes, I did. I did. It was
pretty interesting. When you were locked away in your bedroom,
just when I had a spare moment.
Right.
You know. Yeah.
Now, you said also at school you were a bit protected.
Yeah, I had cousins that had gone to the boys' school that I went to. And, it was just like big Pacific Island boys and you don't want to go there. So when I came in, having had them have left, and there were a few Pacific Island boys at the school who were friends, had been friends with my cousins, they were protective of me, so.
So was that because you were already sort of had some mannerisms or things like that, and people were picking on you and things like that?
No, I didn't see it as protection. I just thought, oh, you know what? I'm just a. I had kids coming up and offering me their lunches.
All right.
And I didn't know how to take it because I was just like, oh no, I don't want you to give me your lunch. I want you to have your lunch, and it was. There was this thought, this female intuition that you just, the gentleness in nature. And I think over a period of time, certain guys in my classes, individuals in my classes, sort of were starting to pick it out. Mm-hmm. And it was only towards the end of my school years you know, were there references of comments to me liking certain boys or having relationships.
Mm. So were you teased at all, or was it...
Not majorly, not majorly, nothing deprimental to myself, but the thoughts were there, and I just, if I had to face the same guys in class... Mm-hmm. I would just run the other way, you know.
Or go and find your cousins.
at every cost. My cousins were there at the time, they were very, they must have been very fearful of my cousins, so they thought I was the same type of person, and they realised that I wasn't, and they just thought, you know, it was just hilarious. I just had these people, kids coming up and offering me lunch. Yes, I was hungry, but yes, I did have my own money.
Now, at one part of your life in Australia, you moved back to New Zealand. Is that correct?
Yes. My parents, we still had our house in New Zealand. And I'm not too sure what the reason was for going back. I didn't go back. I actually stayed on. I stayed on here in Australia. And then I went back probably after I finished.
Mm.
So,
and this is about the time that you met your first boyfriend.
Yes, and it was New Year's Eve, and I had gone up with one of my school friends who had gone back to New Zealand, and we went to a gay club in New Zealand called The Staircase.
How old were you at this point?
Oh, probably 17, 18. I was still clubbing. My first clubbing experiences were here in Australia. Yeah. I remember thinking to myself, I just wanted to go boogie, but I remember having that inclination that, oh, I like this gay thing. I think I'm sort of like really turned on by these cute gay guys. And my friend at the time was saying to me, and I was just trying to avoid the whole scenario, that, oh, that guy over there keeps asking questions about you. And I didn't know that he was on a, he was an actor on a New Zealand drama at the time.
Mm.
And I had no idea. And my friend's going to me, oh, so-and-so. So I didn't take any notice. And I thought to myself, okay, he gave my friend his number.
Yeah.
And I waited till my friend left to go home. And I called him the next day.
Okay.
And that was the start of... an interesting relationship. I learnt a lot. My very first gay love.
Mm. So he was a lot older than you, though, wasn't he?
He was about 10 years. He was about 10 years my senior.
Mm. So when you said he was an actor, would he have been pretty well known in New Zealand?
At the time, because the drama was, you know,
cool.
Up there.
Now, saying that, he was well known, but you actually moved in with him, didn't you?
Yes, I spent a year, and that was an interesting one, because it was, for myself, it was so lovey-dovey. Mm-hmm. It was so lovey-dovey, being clingy and, you know, feeling that this is just a bed of roses, and that's how I took it. A bed of roses.
Bear in mind you were only roughly 17, 18. How did your parents take it, you moving out?
Never thought about it with my mum, but my dad, he kicked an uproar. And I remember hearing him on the other side of the phone, and I had to push the phone away because my dad wasn't very happy, and he was just
screaming.
He just had a go, and he couldn't comprehend and understand at the time that your child wants to move on and he wants to leave home.
So was that unhappiness because you were moving in with another guy, or because he was older,
I'm not too sure whether my dad knew at the time what the actual relationship was.
He just thought you might be moving out with a friend, and he didn't want to go out of the family unit.
Yeah, well, I was the baby, and being in a protected sort of thing, to have me leave was like, who is this person that's just come out of the blue to decide to take my son?
Yeah.
And take him away. And my dad just had a go at my partner.
Oh, really?
Just, big time, you know.
Now, you said you were with him for a year. How did you feel when you broke up?
Devastated. I just thought to my... Because, as I said to you before, I thought it was a bed of roses.
Mm.
So I just thought, oh, so I like this. And then when the feeling's things not change. There, yeah. It's just like, boom. And it was my first. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, how do I get over it? Mm. You know, I couldn't comprehend. Mm. And being naive at the time, very naive at the time, and just majorly looking for the acceptance thing, mm. the word.
At this point in your life, were you thinking about becoming a transgender?
Yeah, most definitely.
Did your boyfriend know this?
Oh, at the time, mm. at that given time. I think I was still meddling with the thought of I'm liking this guy thing. It only became more persistent as when I would sit there by myself and think, it's actually more than just, I was like, I'm not liking these male garments. Mm. It's like, yeah.
Just so your feelings got more than just trying on a dress now and again. You felt that this is how you should be.
Yeah, just I like the way, the movement of the woman and just her gentleness and her ways.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9. We'll come back to Amao's story very soon.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9 with Mark, Sam and Hugh, and today we're speaking to Amao.
Now, before we go back to Amao's story, we've actually got a double pass to give away to Ponglangza On, First Australian Tour. It's a well-known traditional Thai musical act with over 22 performers on stage, never before toured Australia, and the double pass is yours if you call 1-300-JOY-949 or 04 SMS 0427-JOY-949. I got a bit tongue-tied there. And you obviously noticed our deliberate mistake with the music as well. But
It was well faded back
in. Yeah.
Just to keep the listener on their toes.
Yes. And if you didn't notice it, don't phone up for the prize because you've just lost.
So, Amao, would you like to tell us a bit about that music we've played so far?
Okay, just with the Ave Maria song. When I think of people such as Beyonce, I think of just the strength of beauty of woman.
Yep.
You know, and it's...
So that was Beyonce singing Ave Maria then,
Ave Maria. All right, well. And it was something that was played at my mum's funeral. So it's... My mum was a strong person and she was just an awesome person. And when I think of going about my ways in life in general, I think of my mum. Mm-hmm. You know, I come from a place, you know, of love. So having that, having gratitude... And coming back to someone say as Beyonce, just having strength to be yourself in general and just be good to people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, look at life as calm, as beautiful.
Amao, let's talk about when you decided you had enough of dressing as a man and you wanted to present yourself to the world as a woman. What was the turning point?
My turning point was when I came back to Australia after, say, 15 years back in New Zealand from my high school years. And I had my very first girlmate pass away. And that was devastating for me because I didn't really know how to take it. And, you know, they don't write books on, you know, when you first lose, your loved one or your partner or a friend, for say. So it took me... You know, it just took me by surprise. And the way it worked out was I woke up one day and I had become in a state of denial. And what I was doing was I'd go to work, come back home and almost became a recluse because for me there was no point in wanting to move on with life because I had just lost my friend and I don't really know how to comprehend it. So I woke up one morning and I said to myself, and I took a good look at myself in the mirror, and I said to myself, you need to be happy. You need to be what would make you happy. And I thought to myself, I have this other person. And I said, you know, you need to be true to yourself. You need to be happy. So Amao started eventuating. I was thinking of what would make me happy was to be this other person. So I had scored a job with Wesley Mission here in Australia on my way to coming back. And it was to work in the Western high schools. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'm going to take it by the horns, and I'm going to present myself as a woman. I'm going to live myself as a woman, and I'm just going to go with it. And funny enough, I scored a job through Wesley Mission working in the Western schools up in Sydney. And I was working as a youth coordinator with Pacific Island parents and students. And I beat out 53 applicants for the... There were a lot of applicants mm-hmm. for the job. And I had no idea who was sitting on the interviewing panel.
And why was that?
Oh, it was just the case of you don't know how it's all going to play out. How are they going to, you know, it's a school scenario.
Can I ask you a question at this point? Did they know that you were transgender?
It wasn't revealed to them until after the interview when they had already decided.
Right.
Not that it would have made a big point, because I did my interview, I made it to the final eight, and they had interviewed me via telephone conference, so they had no idea what I look like, and I was just going to work it on my ability. On, I know I can do the job, so I'm going to give it my best. The hilarious thing about it was my intuition. I had a good feeling. By the third question they gave me, I just thought, I'm going to play the humor card and try and lighten the situation. So by the end of the interview, what per se at normal interviews, you know, okay, thank you, Amal, thank you very much for coming. What do you feel you bring to the... Our last question is, what do you feel you bring to the job? I said, I bring my mouth.
That was a good answer.
You could just tell they were laughing. So what happened was, I got a call back. And I was told that they were going to call me back the following day. They gave me a call back like 2 minutes and 12 seconds to say that I had gotten the job.
Awesome. So it worked.
And it was sort of revealed to them afterwards that she happens to be transgender. They had no idea. I had no idea there was like two school principals, a police cop, you know, just people in the community.
Oh, so we'll talk a bit more about that in the next section.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9.
It's pure joy, 94.9.
Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Mark, Sam and Hugh, and our guest today is Amal. Before we carry on, just to give you an opportunity to win a double pass to Ponlangsa on First Australian Tour, which is on Monday, the 30th of August. A well-known traditional Thai music act with over 22 performers on stage. Never before have they toured in Australia. Thanks to Valiarm. If you'd like to win those tickets, then just call us on 1300-JOY-949 or SMS on 0427-JOY-949.
I think it'll be a great show.
Yeah, I think so.
So phone up now and the double pass is yours.
Amal, would you like to tell us about that music that we just played then?
Okay, that was a track by disco legend Donna Summers called Stamp Your Feet. And my interpretation of that is just like taking a stand and believing in yourself and just wishing like for all of us to have safe and protected journey wherever we lay our footprints down. Oh, so,
nice song.
Now, so Donna Summer, she fell out of grace with all the gay community at one point, didn't she?
Did she?
Yeah.
No, really? Maybe you could.
I'm just going back to when I was a little bit younger.
That far back.
Anyway, let's get back to Amal's story. Now, Amal, when you decided that you were going to dress as a woman, how difficult was it for you?
There were challenges because, for myself, just being left at my own devices. And just before the break, when I sang about this job thing and living on Hume Highway, main highway, in Yagoona, up in Sydney, and I remember having to walk 400 metres down Hume Highway, then turn right. And I had just come from New Zealand and was going to, you know, now be living, you know, 24/7 dressing up, you know, being a woman. So I would walk out my door in female business attire and would just have to sashay and strut down and catwalk it down the road and just hope to God that, you know, I won't get gagged or... Mm. And for whatever reason, it was just nice to have guys honk their horns and stop their cars.
Oh, really?
And it was just a boost. For whatever reason, for me, it was just a big confidence boost.
It's like having attention. You know, yeah, someone gives you attention, you're like, yeah, yeah, I'm worth
and
it.
And then when they stop their car and you have to, you know, like having to explain the truth to them. And it was all met with, great gratitude and a bit of the humour as well, because it was at there that it was just like having to prove to myself to hold it together and just, you know, you'll be all right.
Mm. So what was it like, we were just talking before about the job that you'd got, walking into that new job the first day dressed in as a transgender woman, how did that feel for you?
Great. It was just a big lift off my shoulder, and knowing that they had already known that she was trans. So the boss at the time was given the foreword prior to me going, and she was a Pacific Island woman, so she understood the term fafafine. So her approach to it was more enlightening and humorous, and it was just it was a good bond. So it wasn't frowned upon. I just realized, and where for me it was just trying to I felt for myself that I needed to prove it, but when in reality you have nobody to prove it to but yourself. So when you learn to be comfortable in your own skin, you just hope to go with the flow and just go.
Do you think it's easier to approach it with people who do have that view on the that term you said, where it's like that view from Samoan or Pacific Islanders, that, you know, they take it with a bit of like humor and it's a bit more positive?
Yeah, it is a bit more positive. I guess it varies for different wherever you're placed in this world society, and it's just for me it's a blessing and to be of Samoan descent, because being Samoan and the term fafafine takes on a whole different meaning. It's more than the physical, it's spiritual. And you just work with what you got over there. The hormones don't come as frequently as you're able to get here. But over there, fafafine in Samoan society, it's more you make do with your circumstance. And it's you have... The great thing about it is that you just have people that feel great, feel just awesome in their skin, and the humour is—it's a whole nother story.
Just talking about the fafafine in Samoa. Samoa is a pretty Christian-based country. Is that correct?
Yes. Right,
and it seems the most Christian-based countries tend to be quite anti-gay and transgender, but it seems that in Samoa it's. You don't sort of have that element of it.
Not so much. We place emphasis on there's a big emphasis on family, regardless whether you're a family as per, you know, biological or your friends and that. So with that emphasis in mind, there's also the humour that you use, and you just learn to have a good take on life. You laugh at everything. I mean, it's not a rare thing if you put a bunch of Pacific Island people, regardless whether they come from Solomon Islands or Vanuatu, we will tend to laugh at everything.
Now, you told me a story, actually, talking about, you know, the Samoan sense of humour, was your father was sick and you went to see him in New Zealand, and it was also your birthday and all the relatives were there.
That was this year, and that was the day before my birthday, and got called back that Dad was very sick and he may not, you know, live through. So I went back, and one of the humorous scenarios there was they were saying me happy birthday, and half of them, who I hadn't seen for a while, had still been thinking of me in the male sense.
Right, yeah.
So they sort of still thinking male name, you know. So they're singing me happy birthday. So when it came to the first happy birthday, half of the group was singing, sort of coming out and wanting to say the male name that originally I was given. And the other half was saying the female. And then, you know, it was halfway through the song, you sort of think, there's a difference, there's a group difference, and they don't know what to say. Mm. And then by the end of the song, they all eventually said, "Happy birthday, Amal." The song that followed that was they broke out into "For She's a Jolly Good Fellow." So just the humorous approach.
So they accepted you fairly quickly then?
Yeah, that was like it because, you know, I had family members coming left, right and centre for dads.
So, family members you hadn't seen for a long time.
For a long time, yeah, like over 10 years.
Yeah.
So, and for them to see me now as female, it was totally different. Not that they frowned upon it, I didn't feel that.
Yeah.
But they didn't
just
know.
Just a bit of, they didn't know how to
in terms of the name, the terminology, it was just, they were looking at me like, oh, what do we say?
You also told me a story, I love all these stories you told me, you know, we sat for hours talking about all this, about when you first dressed as a woman in front of your dad.
Oh, that was hilarious. I got invited to a function, and actually didn't play on my mind, and I thought I'm going to go all out, going to get my nails done and so forth, get a new gown, you name it. I was going to go the full works, and I came out of the door not realizing that, oh, I'm going to have to ask Dad for a ride. And so I asked Dad for a ride, just playing it off.
Yeah.
And Dad took one look at me and just shook in horror and just was just, he wasn't going to have a ball of it and just started reverting out in Samoa.
So was this the first time he'd seen you dressed
majorly
as a woman?
Yeah. And my grandmother, my dad's mum, was sitting there at the time, and she just turned around after my dad had blurted not so kind words to me, and grandma turned around and she said to him, she looked at me and smiled, and then she looked at my dad, and she had a go at my dad, and she said in Samoan, which I can translate in English, is, look at her, she's beautiful. Yeah. What? She didn't be asked to be born in the first place.
Yeah.
So my dad didn't have a comeback line to that. What it entailed was I came back from the function, and the following day, I didn't know that I would be winning some money from the award that I got. I didn't even know that I was getting an award. I just went to support
it. What was the award for?
Personality.
Okay.
You know, I was just like, thanks. Yeah. And I woke up the next morning, and they had said that I had won some money, and Dad found out about it, and the first person to approach me and ask me for some of the winnings from my money was my dad. I said, whatever.
What did you say? I spent it all on a dress.
Yeah.
So in Samoa, the Fafini, one of the stories you mentioned to me off air was about the boxing.
Oh.
So would you like to explain about the boxing?
One of the humorous, Samoan Fafafine are known to be, you know, great entertainers. They're considered valuable contributors to Samoan society, whether it be church or community or within family. One of the hilarious things as a predance to main boxing events in Samoan is Samoan Fafafine having boxing matches themselves. And I tell you, it's quite hilarious. And it's been going on for maybe the last, we'll say, 6 or 7 years.
Is it very aggressive, or is it more of a joke, or do they really take it seriously?
They take it seriously. That's why I say to, you know, people who are not, you know, aware of Samoan Fafafine, you know, you befriend them and you have a good laugh with them. Yeah. You cross them, you better run.
How do you cope with people who are rude to you? Obviously, people, when they suddenly realise you're transgender, how does it feel?
It's quite funny because it used to make me get me really, really kick me up a stinker. Now I'm a bit more assertive in my approach. I go approach the person, and you know, there's two ways about it. Sometimes I can walk away, but if they really annoy me, I just turn around and say, hey, look, you don't know me, get to know me because I'm a lovely person. And sometimes the reaction, because the fact that you've confronted them and say, for say, in front of the group of people that they're with, they get totally astounded. And normally, the majority of times, I get an apology back, and I just say to them, oh, darling, okay, you're human, but just get to know people regardless of whether they happen to be transgender or not. And then My one of putting a lid on it is I just turn around to them and say, thank you, all the best, bless you. You know, coming back to what I said, karma's beautiful. So, you know, if I affirm that, I believe if you affirm that, that's my own personal choice, that's how it'll be. Karma will be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Do you have friends who are transgender as well?
Yes, I do. I have a deaf flatmate who's up in Sydney at the moment, and she's Māori, New Zealand, Kiwi, and it's just nice to have that affirmation of, because, you know, we don't have our immediate families around us 24/7. It's nice to have what you would consider your friends, your to be family. So having someone such as my friend is a great thing. And it also puts into my mind as well on having an open view to life, just with regards to like sitting here with the lovely people in this
studio.
just having open ear to difference of perspectives in terms of, for say, my friend, her transgender point of view, because she's someone that's been on the hormones quite a bit. It's just nice to know, and I just try and take whatever I can and just work it, you know.
So you said your flatmate's on hormones, so is she going to go through the operation to change into a woman? Or?
Oh, the both of us said yes. We said if we want, it was funny, we were listening, we were keep bringing up the Tats Lotto ads, keep playing on, and we just said that would be the first thing would happen. I just said, you know, you know, we both said that to each other. So there's a blessing there for whatever reason.
Have you ever had any regrets of becoming transgender?
No, I haven't. Such a blessing. Such a blessing. And very, very lucky to...
What would you say to someone who's sitting at home and considering it? What would you say would be the first step to take?
Put your... for them, be true to yourself. Put yourself around a good bunch of people, friends, family, and just, you know, go with your gut feeling. If it feels good, go with it. There are support groups out there, so if you can identify with one or two or more of them, go for gold. But just, you know, you need to be happy.
Okay. Great. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show, Emma. That is Orange Ribbon for another week. Our special thanks to Amau for her amazing story. Coming up next on Joy is Kaz Mitchell with the Women's Zone. Thanks for joining us on Orange Ribbon today. We'll be back again at the same time, 2 p.m. next Saturday, with more insights into GLBTIQ multicultural community here in Australia and around the world. Thanks to Grant on support for his help today. From Mark, Sam and myself, Hugh, bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.